felt led that we continue our studies in the book of Romans rather than having a special service for Easter today. And it will keep the continuity of our thoughts centered upon what we're studying. Not a very popular passage of Scripture to study, but I think we will find it beneficial and profitable. I'd like to read Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 25. Just talking about the Jews, the nation of Israel. Verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. As it is written, for the circumcision verily profiteth if it keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. This passage deals with circumcision. And hopefully next Sunday we'll spend a little time on that, a little more time on that, and make some observations in the Old Testament about circumcision. I found some things that are pretty interesting. But this morning, I want to focus our attention upon what was going on, apparently, in Rome. And in verse 17 and through 20, it talks about the nation of Israel having the appearance of being holy, being on target, having the truth. And I'm going to read verses 17 through 20 again to reflect on these some of the words in here. He says, behold, thou art called, or rather named, a Jew. And you rest in the law. You're comfortable with the law. Now, whether this is the moral law or the ceremonial law, this is really not an issue, except that the moral law is dealt with more directly in this passage of Scripture, because it deals with stealing, it deals with immorality, it deals with idol worship. So this is moral, this is tendency is the moral law. But the nation of Israel, they boasted of being of Moses and the law of Moses. But he says, and you know his will, verse 18. And of course, you make your boast of God, and you know his will, and approve things that are excellent. And being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thyself are the guide of the blind. In other words, they knew the Word of God that was given to them well, and they instructed those that they had as under their ministry, if you want to put it that way. And they did a good job. They were guides of the blind, and they were light for those that were in darkness. They were the instructor of those that are foolish, or those that actually need to be disciplined, is really what that word means. Teacher of babes, that is the unlearned, and has the form or the outward appearance of knowledge and of the truth in the law. There's a distinction between what you see on the outside and what's going on the inside. That's what the ultimate passage is dealing with. Because when you skip down to verse 28 of this passage of Scripture, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart." Because it's out of the heart that it comes the issues of life. It's out of the heart that we behave ourselves. If we have an evil heart, then we have evil intentions. If we have a good heart, then we can bear fruit that others can enjoy and be blessed by. Now, when I think about the Jews, those that are that have the name of, as a Jew, those that rest in the law and make their boast of God, Romans chapter 9 speaks about what God gave us through the nation of Israel. We need to appreciate the Jews because of what they have given us. The nation has given us some precious things. In Romans 9:4, it says, "Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises?" That's quite a list of blessings that Israel has provided. That God provided them, that they in turn provide for us. "Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Who is over all, God bless forever." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, came through the nation of Israel. And in Psalms chapter 147, verses 19 through 20, it says, "He showed His word unto Jacob, His statutes and judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as far as His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." In other words, where did this book come from? It came from the nation of Israel. Some people think that Luke, having a Gentile name, was a Gentile. But this verse of Scripture says here that he was a Jew, even though he may have had a Gentile name. The Word of God came through the nation of Israel. They are the ones who wrote it, Old Testament, New Testament as well. Now, they rested in the law. And last Sunday we spoke about the fact that the law has to do with being just. And if we are being just and we are doing that which is our duty to do, we're really an unprofitable servant. In Luke 17:10, it says, "So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do." There are those who boast in being just. But the book of Romans is encouraging us not only to be just, to behave ourselves, to live in a proper way, but he's also encouraging us to live by faith. Live trusting God for our needs and our circumstances. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, we know that the nation of Israel heard the same message that we're hearing today, in essence. Maybe not with the resurrection of Jesus Christ having the same, having not taken place. But in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." They heard the message in the wilderness, but it was not mixed with faith. Hebrews 11, verses 28 and 30 says, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood." This is Moses. "Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned." We see that faith was on the other side, on the side of Egypt, before going through the Red Sea. That's where faith started, before the Red Sea. When I think about Abraham had faith before all of them did. Okay, so Moses and the children of Israel, they had faith on the other side of the Red Sea. And then the next act of faith is not until Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. What's interesting to me is this. The children of Israel who went into the land flowing with milk and honey, they went through the Jordan River, which is the same experience that the children had when they went through the Red Sea. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. But in Jordan, they went through dying to self first, and then they began to live by faith. There's a distinction there, I can see. And we'll pick up in more detail on that next Sunday. So, there's no faith in the wilderness. That's the point. Faith before the wilderness, faith after the wilderness, but where the law was given, no faith. Okay? Now, we are encouraged in Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back from the faith, my soul shall have no pleasure in them or in him. You can be just, and God wants you to be just, but He also wants us to live by faith. And if we quit trusting Him and quit living by faith, the Lord's not going to have any pleasure in us, because without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Lord wants us to please Him, and the way that we please Him is that we live by faith. But before we can live by faith, we have to be just. We have to be obedient to the moral law. Not the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law was nailed to the cross, but the moral law still is applicable to us today. You don't want to be stealing. You don't want to live in adultery. You don't want to worship idols, etc. Romans also tells us the same thing in Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, the Jews basically were hypocrites. And that's what we were reading in verses 21 through 24. They were teaching others, but they weren't teaching themselves. They weren't practicing what they were preaching. That's basically what it amounts to. They were teaching others, but they weren't teaching themselves. They were preaching that a man should not steal, and they were stealing. And they were teaching men not to commit adultery, and yet they were living in adultery. And they were teaching that men should not worship, or that they should not worship idols, but yet they had idols in their own lives. And in other words, the spirit of idolatry, holding down the truth. In other words, that is the sacrilege that they were doing. Yet they boasted of the law. Through breaking the law, thou dishonorest God. They were dishonoring the Lord. In Romans 1:18, it speaks of them holding down the truth. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, who hold down, who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. And doing that, they condemn themselves. We've already been over Romans 2:1-2, but you see that they were condemning themselves by the way they were living. Therefore thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. In other words, this makes these verses more relevant when you read down in these the passages that we were reading in verses 21 through 24. They were teaching men not to do certain things, and they were doing those very same things. It says, thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. I think there are people that believe that that's going to happen. And yet, the Jews were guilty of doing that. In Matthew chapter 15, it talks about the hypocrites, where Isaiah wrote of the people in his day, or in the days when Jesus was ministering. And in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, it says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They talk the talk, but it's not from their heart." And God wants us, it's from the heart that man makes the issues of life. So back in Romans, it talks about, in Romans 2, verses 23 through 25, it says, "They boasted of the law. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God?" That's the question. You think that boasting of the law is going to give you any credit with God? No. "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles." The way you live does make a difference in the lives of others. They're going to say, "Well, just look at him." And let me tell you, the devil is the accuser. And you know where the devil is? He's standing right by the Lord saying, "Look what your servant's doing now." And so they were boasting, but they were dishonoring the Lord. "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, as it is written." Through you, as it is written. "For circumcision verily profiteth, if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." In other words, circumcision is really a testimony. It's a physical act. It's a testimony. When I think about circumcision, it's an outward testimony, actually a faith. That's what circumcision is. It's an outward testimony of faith. And I'm going to just read Romans chapter 4 because it deals with circumcision being a sign of the righteousness of God, which is by faith. And by the way, Adam was talking. Adam had his son circumcised, and he assured the church that he was not observing the Mosaic law. And I can appreciate that. But circumcision is a male thing. And so it doesn't include the females. And that's the reason why circumcision, being an outward sign in the male, it's a circumcision of the heart that both male and female can participate in. And that's the one that counts. It's not the outward. And what both male and female can participate in is a consistent lifestyle that others can see. That's what's important. Now, in Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham and circumcision. See, circumcision was given to Abraham and not to Moses. Circumcision was not given to as a part of the law. It was given to Abraham. Now, in time, a circumcision has been identified with the nation of Israel, but it was not given to them originally. It says in verse 8 of Romans 4, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or reckon sin. Cometh this blessed upon them, or then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? We say that faith was reckoned or imputed to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. God imputed the righteousness which is of faith to Abraham before he was circumcised. But there came a time in his life, and by the way, that was in Genesis chapter 15. Circumcision didn't come into play until in Genesis 17. Okay? And what circumcision was is revealed in verse 11 that we're getting ready to read. And he received the sign of circumcision. What was the sign of circumcision? It was an outward sign. And that outward sign was actually a seal of the righteousness that is of faith. Circumcision has to do with faith. Circumcision has to do with the righteousness which is associated with faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, in the present tense. So circumcision has to do with a testimony of the covenant that God made with Abraham, that he would have an inheritance, a heavenly inheritance as well as an earthly inheritance. And circumcision was just an outward seal of that covenant. It says that he might be the father of all them that believe, present active, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed or reckoned unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, or being just alone, but through the righteousness which is of faith. That is, being just and living by faith. That's where the righteousness comes. So the point I'm trying to make here is this. Abraham was just. Sin was not going to be imputed to Abraham. He was blessed by God. And so he had the righteousness which is of faith because he believed God. And God reckoned it to him for righteousness. Now that's not when Abraham was saved. Genesis 15 is not when Abraham was saved. That's when Abraham received the righteousness which is of faith. Abraham was saved in the Ur of the Chaldees when God called him into the land. So, this covenant that God made with Abraham, that I will give you the land. In fact, he told him that in Genesis 15. But he gave him a seal. He gave him a sign. And that sign was circumcision. And so that's what circumcision is. It's an outward sign or an outward testimony of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And by the way, circumcision didn't help everybody. I just think about Ishmael. Ishmael was circumcised, but he didn't get the land flowing with milk and honey. He got a loaf of bread and a bottle of water, and that was it. So, now, I want to read from Genesis chapter 17 what I just got through saying about this covenant that God made with Abraham. In verse 7 of Genesis 17, he says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token That is an outward sign of the righteousness which is of faith. That's what circumcision is. It's an outward sign of the righteousness which God gave to Abraham by faith. And it's of the covenant between me and you. Now, what is significant is that there is a righteousness which is of faith, but the circumcision of the heart is what we need so that we can be just. In other words, when I think about circumcision, it's a circumcision of the heart. He is a Jew which is one outwardly. And circumcision, this is in Romans 2:29, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. It's the cutting away of the flesh of the heart. When I think about cutting away of the flesh, been reading in the Old Testament in my devotions, and this is a quotation basically of the passage in Romans, but in Deuteronomy 10 it's pretty interesting. The cutting away of the flesh, Deuteronomy 10 verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Stiff-necked means you're rebellious. You don't bend. You're not going to let the Lord have His way in your heart and life. That's being stiff-necked. It says, for the Lord your God, He is God. Actually, He is a judge. The word God and the word judge are translated the same. In other words, they both are translated the same word. The same Hebrew words translated both ways, okay? Okay. The Lord your God is a judge. Of what? Of judges. There is only one God. There are not many gods. I mean, we may think about all the gods that they have in certain religions. But God is a judge among the judges. And we do have judges today. Judges in the heavenlies and judges here on the earth today. But He is the judge of judges. And the Lord, and He is Lord of lords. Lords have authority. That's what I was thinking. He is the Lord of those who have authority. He has authority over those who have authority. And He is a great God. He is a great judge. He is mighty. He is awesome, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Judges take a little something under the table to sway the judgment or His judgment. And that's what He's saying. He doesn't take a reward because rewards blind judges. Okay? So we need to circumcise our heart. Why? Because God will one day judge those who don't. If we don't cut away the flesh in our life, the things of the flesh in our life, we can expect our God to judge us. And so therefore, what do we need to do? Well, I just included the passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 5, the list of those works of the flesh. And it goes this way. Now the works of the flesh, that is, that comes from an uncircumcised heart, okay, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Where do these things come from? The heart. These come out of our heart. These things oftentimes move us and motivate us. Our heart motivates us to do these things and to practice these things. And we need to cut away that flesh. We need to cut away the sins of the flesh. Now, he goes on and tells us, of which things I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The children of Israel who were stiff-necked, and by the way, there was no circumcision at all in the wilderness. Did you know that? They didn't circumcise in the wilderness. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. And so therefore, they were of the flesh. They were stiff-necked. They had a hard heart. They responded in the flesh to thirst and food and what they had to experience. And they lost their inheritance. And that's an example for us. If we don't live a holy life and a life trusting God, it's going to cost us as far as His coming kingdom is concerned. May the Lord help us to not be hypocrites, not to be boasting in what we know and boasting in the law, and that we are doing everything right, so to speak, and yet people can see that we're not. May the Lord help us not to live, say one thing and live another, because I'll tell you this, people can see right through us. And I'm not saying seeing through you, I'm saying through us. That includes me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your blessings upon us. We thank You, Father, for this time of fellowship around Your Word. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us not to be like the Jews that boasted in the law, and yet they did not live what they taught. Help us, Lord, to believe and to be able to teach and to be able to live the way we believe before others, that Your name be not blasphemed, and that we can enjoy a heavenly inheritance. Thank You again, Father, for this time of fellowship around Your Word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.